Thank you. If you have your Bible, we're going back to the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter now of the Gospel according to Matthew. As you turn there, if you are a volunteer for Vacation Bible School, there will be a brief meeting right over here immediately after the service. We need all of you to be involved in Vacation Bible School who can, coming up right after Father's Day. And so all of you who are volunteering for Vacation Bible School, right over here. And then as you leave, you'll volunteer out there. And we'll have all those volunteers recorded. The Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning in the beginning. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. Therefore, these powers are at work in him." For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Because John said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted John as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, "Give me John the Baptist's head on a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, because of the oath, because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a charger and given to the girl. And she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I ask that you would use your word to penetrate our hearts, Father, to draw us close to you. We thank you for this moment to be in your house. We thank you for your challenge to our hearts. Move within us now, in Jesus' name, amen. How's your conscience? I mean, how's it doing? Is it bothering you at all? Are you okay with it? Do you have a clear conscience? The conscience is kind of your moral compass. The conscience doesn't set the law. The conscience just kind of lets you know when you're getting close to violating the law. I like to think of the conscience as the robot on Lost in Space. Warning, warning, Will Robinson. And if you don't know what that is, it's an old show. The conscience warns you when you're getting into dangerous situations, when you're in violation of what you should do, or when you're failing to do what you should do. The conscience kicks in if it's working right. How's your conscience? It's like a red light that goes off. The Bible says you can have an evil conscience in Hebrews 10:22. It says you can have a defiled conscience in Titus 1:15. The very thing meant to warn us, to protect us, can actually twist if you deny it and start to work against us. How's your conscience? Paul said to Timothy, the conscience can be seared as with a hot iron. You know, the conscience can actually be used by evil spirits. But mostly, if you're a believer, you need to understand that the Holy Spirit can speak to you through your conscience. The conscience is what tells you to obey your parents and tells you when you have not. But if you say no again and again to your conscience, you will damage it. The conscience is what God uses to tell you that you're a sinner and you need a Savior and you need Jesus. But if you say no to Jesus again and again and again, you'll stop hearing it. A great thing, though, even if you've damaged your conscience, if you come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He will restart it. And again, it can bless your life. We need a clean conscience. We need a convicting conscience. So here in this passage, we have a story that helps us with the conscience. This is one of the darkest accounts in the entire Bible. There are several individuals that are involved in what's going on. There's John the Baptist. What a great man was John the Baptist. Jesus said, "Of men born of women, there is none better than John the Baptist." What a guy. There is Herod the king, the tetrarch. What a bad guy. There is Herodias, his wife. And she's not a good lady. There is Salome, her daughter. She's been led by her mother, and she does not report well in the scriptures. There is Jesus, the holy, perfect Son of God. This is King Herod. This is Herod Antipas. Now, you may get your Herods mixed up. There's Herod the Great. There's Herod Antipas. They're not the same guy. Herod Antipas is the son of Herod the Great. Now, Herod the Great, he could do some great stuff, but in reality, he was the Herod the not so great. Herod the Great, if you want to know the difference, Herod the Great was the one who wanted to kill all the babies in order to kill Jesus. Now, he died, but the apple didn't fall far from the tree, and Herod Antipas comes up. He actually lacked a lot of the greatness of his father, but he got a double dose of all of the evil of his father. Jesus referred to him as that fox. So, the message of Jesus, that Jesus is touching lives, that Jesus is changing souls, that Jesus is healing people, that Jesus is actually raising the dead, that gets to Herod. And his conscience is bothering him. And the question comes up as, who is this Jesus? And who's this guy that's doing all these things? And those around Herod say he's a prophet, and he was. They say he's Elijah, which one of the great prophets, which he was not. And then Herod says, he is John the Baptist, and Mark tells us, who I beheaded, risen from the dead. Herod's statement about Jesus reveals a lot about our conscience. The Bible says each of us has a conscience. Now, we understand we have one. At some point or time, your conscience has told you not to do something. Maybe something your mother has told you not to do. One boy said, a conscience is what makes you tell your mother when you've broken the rules before your sister tells her that you've broken the rules. It is a warning. It is something that tells you you're on dangerous ground. It is something that can tell you you've done right. In Romans 2:15, the witness of God written on the walls of the heart of a man that accuses or excuses his actions. Well, that's what God says your conscience is. And we're going to learn something about our conscience looking at this story from the Bible and the conscience of Herod the Antipas. How's your conscience? He had a troubled conscience. Herod put John in prison for Herodias' sake, the scripture says. And in verse 4, John had said, it is not lawful for you to have her. Herodias and Herod are an odd couple. They should not be together, but they are. Have you ever known people that should not be together, but they are? I mean, they really should not be together. You see, Herodias was not Herod Antipas' wife. She was Herod's brother's wife, his brother Philip. And so Herod visited Philip, met his new wife, was infatuated with her, wooed her. They got together and they ran off together. he stole his brother's wife. There's a Greek word for this. Ew. But it's worse. You know, we're thinking, poor Philip. No, not poor Philip. Philip should have never been with Herodias to start with. You know who Herodias is? She is his half-sister. That Greek word again. Ooh. And so Herod actually went and stole his brother's wife, who was Philip's half-sister. Oh, wait a minute. You connecting the dots? If she was Philip's half-sister and she is, and Philip is Herod's brother, what relation was she to Herod? His half-sister. You kind of know this is wrong. Yeah, he knew this was wrong. This is not just wrong in the Bible. This is wrong everywhere. Even unchristians know this isn't right. There should have been warnings going off in his mind the whole time he was going through the motions of what he was doing. In the Ten Commandments, it says, you shall not covet your neighbor's spouse. You shall not commit adultery. In the Bible, it also says, you shall not take the daughter of your father. That's pretty explicit. You know, you don't have sexual relations with your brothers and sisters. You don't. Most people just kind of know that. God says there's a right and a wrong, and Herod just kind of ignores it all. God has written in his truth. He has written his truth on our hearts, and we hold it in our hearts. And, you know, some people who never read the Bible know some things about God because God has written it in our hearts, and his conscience kind of guides us. John had arranged to have an audience with the king. He knows the relationships that are in play, and so he goes to the palace. He is convicted to do God's will, to give God's word, and to give God's warning. Now, as he got before the king, he probably went through what they do today. If you happen to go to the palace to see King Charles, you would go through a certain schooling before you got into his presence. And what they do is they tell you how to act when you're before the king. Like, don't speak unless you're spoken to. Don't raise your head to look the king in the eyes. Have your head bowed. You're not worthy. If you do speak, be complimentary. Watch your words. And I'm sure that John was there. He was taking it all in. Let's see, keep my head bowed. You want me to walk in quietly, you want me to keep my tone very complimentary. I'm hearing what you're saying. So they open the door. John the Baptist comes in. He looks Herod in the face and says, it is not lawful for you to have her. Now Herod knew what he was talking about. He slaps Herod upside the head with God's word. He does not back off from it. He does not cower from it. He boldly proclaims it. Now, the tense of the word in the Greek means that he continually did this. He didn't just do it once. He does it again and again and again. Now, he didn't get in the palace again and again and again, so he did it wherever he saw them. So there would be Herodias and Herod on a country ride, and as soon as they got out of the gates of the city, there is John the Baptist saying, it's not lawful for you to have her. Herod would take Herodias to the shopping malls of their day, and they would go down the market, and there as they go down the market and she passes the dresses, there is John the Baptist, and he says, it's not lawful for you to have her. again and again, time and time again. They would go to the games. They had all kinds of games. They had wrestling. They had the combat games, all those things going on. They would go to the games, and there as they look up from the games over in the side, there's John the Baptist saying, "It's not lawful for you to have her." Now, this kind of bothered Herod. You can kind of imagine that it would. He couldn't get away from the truth that John the Baptist was telling him. John is standing for what is right, and as a result, he ends up in jail. You see, not everybody applauds those that speak for what is right. We are in a day when we need God's men to stand up and boldly speak for what is right. We are in a world that is going down the wrong path in so many directions. There are sexual immoralities that are not being addressed, and so young people don't know what the barriers and boundaries are. That shouldn't be said of anybody that comes to your church. You know, it's not pleasant to talk about those things that are horrible. But if God puts it down in the Bible and we get to it in the Scriptures, then it has to be proclaimed. And so the Bible says that sex outside of marriage is wrong. I want you to know it is wrong for homosexuals. It is wrong for heterosexuals. It is wrong for transsexuals. It is wrong for bisexuals. And it is wrong for any other kind of sexual you want to put there. Sex outside of marriage is wrong. Now, in other places, he addresses homosexuality as wrong. It breaks God's law. You know, God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Adam and Steve can't do that. Simple biology tells you it is wrong. Then people want to change their gender. They're telling children, you can change your gender. You choose whether you want to be a boy or a girl or a table. You know, you choose all those things. You don't choose it. You are what you were born to be. You know, you can change things around, but you are still what you are born to be. God doesn't make mistakes. And you know, people need to understand that. Now, as I say this, please understand, I want God's word to touch the hearts of everybody that's out of step with God. I don't hate homosexuals. I do not hate transsexuals. There is no desire for them to be punished. I don't want them to be hurt in any way. We should never act in violence toward any of these people. It is God's love that reaches out and says, Jesus died for you. And you can be saved by coming to know him. Well, Herod's conscience is troubled. He knows what he's doing is wrong. He's troubled by God's message. He's troubled by God's man. In verse 5, when he would have put John to death, he didn't because he feared that he was a prophet. And then it says in another place that he feared the people. He was afraid of God's man because he knew God's man was speaking the truth. And he feared the people and what the people might say. You know, there are a lot of people that don't do right because they're afraid of what others may think. You be concerned about what Jesus thinks. You do right because it's what Jesus tells you to do. In Mark 6:20, it says, for Herod feared John, knowing he was a just man, a holy man, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. This means that Herod actually tried to clean up his own act. He tried to clean up his life in some ways, but he didn't try to clean it up in the main ways. Herod hated hearing, and yet he needed to hear. He's torn and his conscience is troubled. How's your conscience? His conscience comes to be trapped. He has a trapped conscience. A sin slowly takes control of you. You know, it seems like no big deal at the first, but when you get into sin, it becomes a really big deal. And once you've crossed the line, you can't go back across the line the other way. You've already stepped into that sinful path. And God tries to get your attention. Herod is trapped. He is trapped by enjoying the sin. He is trapped by his pride. It's Herod's birthday. He wants to celebrate. He wants everybody to celebrate. The music played, the wine poured. Herod is trapped by his excess. More music, more wine, more women. Someone says, "Bring on Salome." Well, she comes and she dances before the king. And in context, we know this was a sinful, sexual, come on, dance. Know that Greek word? This is his stepdaughter. Ooh. And so who puts her up to this? Who would have this child do this sexual perversion in front of her husband, Herodias? You know, there are some parents today that will throw their children to the devil if they think it gets them what they want. We need to work and pray for our precious children. We need to teach them God's word. We need to tell them that being popular with God is more important than being popular with the world. And they need to know what is true before God. Herod is so wound up sexually, he tells her, "I give you anything you want up to half of my kingdom." Now that's a lot. I'm sure it didn't take him long to say, "I shouldn't have said that." Herod's lust is running away with him. He's not thinking with his head, he's thinking with his lust. And he offers what he never should offer. Salome runs to Herodias. "Hey, mom, this is what you wanted. What do you want? What can we ask for?" And she's thinking, you know, a Mercedes chariot, you know, something like that. Herodias knows what she wants. "I want the head of John the Baptist on a charger." You ever go to a fancy dinner and they have a plate on top of a real big plate? And you wonder what it's there for? That's a charger. And I know because I've asked. And that's a charger. Now, you know, if you're in a real fancy place, they bring and put plates on the charger, but the charger really never gets used. It's there. What's it there for? Well, I found out what it's there for. She goes to the king and says, "I want John the Baptist's head on the charger." Now, I know some of your text says platter, but I'll go with the King James on this. On a big plate. And so Herod is trapped. He doesn't really like John the Baptist in some ways, but he admires John the Baptist in some ways. He doesn't really want to kill John the Baptist because the people like John the Baptist, but he really can't let John the Baptist go because he said he would do whatever she wanted to do. Try to run this through your mind. He is bothered by what other people will think of him if he goes back on his word of giving her anything she wants. But he's not bothered about cutting the head of John the Baptist off. What should he have done? I'll tell you what he should have done. He should have said no. He should have said, "That's a man of God. He's speaking the word of God, and I am going to move with God." He should have said, "Herodias, you're out of here. This relationship is wrong." He should have said, "Salome, put some clothes on." He should have said all those things, but he didn't. He took the cowardly way and went with his trapped conscience and had John the Baptist killed. How's your conscience? Then we see a tormented conscience. We don't know. There's some time that lapses. Now, this text is a little mixed up in place because of God trying to get some points across, but we don't know how much time passes between that episode of chopping off John's head and Herod hearing about Jesus. There are some time that passes there. And so the time passes and something happens and they talk about Jesus, and that word comes to Herod, and he knows that Jesus is a good man. John the Baptist was a good man. Jesus is preaching God's word. John the Baptist preached God's word. Jesus is calling out sin. John the Baptist called out sin. Jesus is an instrument to lift people up. John the Baptist was an instrument to lift people up. He says, it's John the Baptist. He's alive from the dead. He's coming after me. Well, I added that part, but you know, that's what he's feeling, you know, and all of that is there, and his conscience is just telling him that I beheaded him. I knew it was wrong to behead him, but I beheaded him, and now it's all coming back to me. The conscience will follow you, and the conscience will remind you of personal responsibility. There's accountability. Risen from the dead. Now, we believe, I really don't know this from the scripture, but we believe that Herod was a Sadducee. Now, the Sadducees were the liberals of the day. They were those people that did not believe in miracles. They did not believe in the resurrection. But his conscience is trying to straighten out his bad theology. Because all of a sudden he believes in a miracle that John the Baptist is alive from the dead, and that's resurrection. Herod's realizing he's going to have to face God. What John has said is true. My friend, you need to realize you will face God. What the Bible says is true. In Luke 23, Jesus is brought before Herod. This is when Jesus is going through his trials. You know, Pilate didn't really want to deal with him, and so he sends him to Herod. He gets before Herod, and Herod's excited to see Jesus in 23 verse 8. He's glad that he's there. This is Herod's chance. This is Herod to get right. This is Herod to say, I believe in you. I believe what John told me is true. I want to receive you as my Savior and Lord. This is his chance. But he does not take it. In fact, his mind is in a completely different place. His conscience is silent. The reality is he said no to God so many times, God's turned him off. When your conscience goes silent, when it should be warning you or telling you what you need to do for God, then you've stepped across a line too far. Herod tried to get Jesus to perform some magic tricks. He's got the Son of God, the greatest testimony he'll ever have before him, and he's asking him to pull a rabbit out of a hat. Jesus doesn't do it. Jesus, in fact, does not say a word to him. In verse 9, then Herod questioned Jesus in many words, but Jesus did not answer him. Why didn't Jesus answer him? He knew that he had already turned his conscience off. He knew that his spirit was not listening. Some of you are here, and your conscience is going off, and your conscience is telling you, you know, you need Jesus. There's some things in your life that aren't right. You need Jesus. There are some things you need to get out of your life. You need Jesus. There's only one way to hope. You need Jesus. and you keep hearing that in your heart and your mind, and the conscience is telling you, you need Jesus. You know what? You need Jesus. You need to respond to Jesus Christ. You need to know that He is Almighty God who went to Calvary's cross for you, died for you, was buried for you, and He wants to save you. You need Jesus, and your conscience is telling you that. It's time for you to make a decision. Now, you can say no to your conscience. You can. But if you continually say no, God will stop asking one day. Don't say no. You need Jesus. If you've never met Jesus as your Savior, if you've never invited Him into your heart, just come forward and say, I want Jesus. Don't worry about what anybody will say. Don't worry about what anybody thinks. It only matters what Jesus wants. And He wants you. And He will forgive you. And this is great. When He forgives you, when you come to Jesus, He does a restart on your conscience. You may find God's telling you some more things that you're doing that aren't right. You may think, well, that didn't bother me before. Well, but you got Jesus now. It's a new life, new hope, new purpose. And believer, if the Holy Spirit is telling you through your conscience that you have stepped out of line with God, you need to get back in line with God. How's your conscience? You need to follow your conscience to what Jesus wants. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I pray right now that You will move within our hearts. Father, there are individuals in this room right now who need to come to Jesus. Father, they know they need to come to Jesus. Help them to have the courage to step out and come. Father, I thank You for what You're going to do in this moment. I pray for believers, Father, that You will move us to rededicate our lives and move our lives toward Your will. Thank You for what You're going to do in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've never met Jesus and you want to meet Him, just come and say, I want Jesus. If you know Him and you've stepped away from serving Him, maybe you want to come and kneel and just tell the Lord that you want to be forgiven and you want to walk with Him. Jesus wants you. Come today.